Chapter 21. The House Elf Liberation Front. Harry, Ron and Hermione went up to the Owlry that evening to find Pigwidgeon so that Harry could send Sirius a letter telling him that he had managed to get past his dragon unscathed. On the way, Harry filled Ron in on everything Sirius had told him about Karkaroff. Though shocked at first to hear that Karkaroff had been a Death Eater, by the time they entered the Owlry, Ron was saying that they ought to have suspected it all along.
"Fits, doesn't it?" he said. "Remember what Malfoy said on the train about his dad being friends with Karkaroff? Now we know why they knew each other. They were probably running around in masks together at the World Cup. I'll tell you one thing, though, Harry. If it was Karkaroff who put your name in the goblet, he's going to be feeling really stupid now, isn't he? Didn't work, did it? You only got a scratch. Come here, I'll do it."
Pigwidgeon was so overexcited at the idea of a delivery, he was flying around and around Harry's head, hooting incessantly. Ron snatched Pigwidgeon out of the air and held him still while Harry attached the letter to his leg.
"There's no way any of the other tasks are going to be that dangerous. How could they be?"
Ron went on as he carried Pigwidgeon to the window.
"You know what? I reckon you could win this tournament, Harry. I'm serious."
Harry knew that Ron was only saying this to make up for his behaviour of the last few weeks, but he appreciated it all the same. Hermione, however, leaned against the Owlry wall, folded her arms, and frowned at Ron.
"Harry's got a long way to go before he finishes this tournament," she said seriously. "If that was the first task, I hate to think what's coming up next."
"Right little ray of sunshine, aren't you?" said Ron. "You and Professor Trelawney should get together sometime."
He threw Pigwidgeon out of the window. Pigwidgeon plummeted 12 feet before managing to pull himself back up again. The letter attached to his leg was much longer and heavier than usual. Harry hadn't been able to resist giving Sirius a blow-by-blow account of exactly how he had swerved, circled, and dodged the horntail. They watched Pigwidgeon disappear into the darkness, and then Ron said,
"Well, we better get downstairs for your surprise party, Harry. Fred and George should have nicked enough food from the kitchens by now."
Sure enough, when they entered the Gryffindor common room, it exploded with cheers and yells again. There were mountains of cakes and flagons of pumpkin juice and butterbeer on every surface. Lee Jordan had let off some filibuster's fireworks so that the air was thick with stars and sparks. And Dean Thomas, who was very good at drawing, had put up some impressive new banners, most of which depicted Harry zooming around the horntail's head on his firebolt, though a couple showed Cedric with his head on fire. Harry helped himself to food. He had almost forgotten what it was like to feel properly hungry, and sat down with Ron and Hermione. He couldn't believe how happy he felt. He had Ron back on his side. He'd gotten through the first task, and he wouldn't have to face the second one for 3 months.
"Blimey, this is heavy," said Lee Jordan, picking up the golden egg, which Harry had left on a table, and weighing it in his hands. "Open it, Harry, go on. Let's just see what's inside it."
"He's supposed to work out the clue on his own," Hermione said swiftly. "It's in the tournament rules."
"I was supposed to work out how to get past the dragon on my own, too," Harry muttered, so only Hermione could hear him, and she grinned rather guiltily.
"Yeah, go on, Harry. Open it,"
several people echoed. Lee passed Harry the egg, and Harry dug his fingernails into the groove that ran all the way around it and prized it open. It was hollow and completely empty. But the moment Harry opened it, the most horrible noise, a loud and screechy wailing, filled the room. The nearest thing to it Harry had ever heard was the ghost orchestra at nearly headless Nick's death day party, who had all been playing the musical Saw.
"Shut it!"
Fred bellowed, his hands over his ears.
"What was that?"
said Seamus Finnegan, staring at the egg as Harry slammed it shut again.
"Sounded like a banshee. Maybe you've got to get past one of those next, Harry."
"It was someone being tortured,"
said Neville, who had gone very white and spilled sausage rolls all over the floor.
"You're going to have to fight the Cruciatus Curse."
"Don't be a prat, Neville, that's illegal," said George. "They wouldn't use the Cruciatus Curse on the champions. I thought it sounded a bit like Percy singing. Maybe you've got to attack him while he's in the shower, Harry."
"Want a jam tart, Hermione?" said Fred.